Thank you for downloading an On Tilt Radio podcast. On this edition of the Ryan Sayre Show here at On Tilt Radio, and the first show in the new Monday time slot, we are joined by my new favorite guest ever, Jennifer Genocide Lee. Danny agrees. The segment lasted a little over an hour, and we wish it could have lasted a lot longer. Jennifer gave us a scoop on so many topics, there's no time to list them all here. From poker, to dating, to claustrophobic Ferris wheels, we hit them all. Stay tuned after the interview to learn more ways to follow Jen and all she does. Enjoy. We're here with Jennifer Lee. You might know her as Genocide. I doubt anybody out there doesn't know her. She's a phenom in poker and just a phenom in life, and my favorite Facebook friend of all time so far.
Jen, really?
Say hi, everybody. Say hi to Jennifer. Hi, how are you, Jen?
Hi. I'm doing well. Doing pretty good. Just sitting here, laying in bed, actually, trying to recover from probably another sinus infection, like my 15th for the year.
Yeah. Can't you get like surgery or something to have that?
But like have my sinuses removed? I don't think that's possible.
They don't do sinus. I don't know. When I'm in North Carolina, there's a crap load of pollen in the air here, and people get some operation to their nose.
Yeah, I think the optimal thing for me to do is actually, I don't know if you've got seen the movie Bubble Boy. I think I'm going to build like a bubble. I'll just walk around with, you know, like a hamster ball or something kind of thing.
You know,
that sounds
good. That sounds like something I need to do.
It'll just be like Lady Gaga almost, you know? It's like a trendsetter, you know?
You could decorate it up like Lady Gaga. You could put like, you know, ham on there.
It'll be kind of like avant-garde, you know, just a big bubble.
You could become Chinese and start wearing masks everywhere.
That's a good idea, too. Or, you know, I could have, like, the ninja suit, because they have a mask. You know, I could just walk around like a ninja. I could do that. Yeah. These are some good ideas.
I'm expecting a ninja picture on your Facebook at some point in the next week.
I think that might be in store. I might have to try to see what I can work up here.
So what have you, what else has been going on with you lately? What do you got going on? Anything exciting, any fun? What have you been doing?
I see
you've been doing a lot of crap.
Been doing a lot, actually. I'm getting ready to go and compete for the Nations Cup in London, which I don't know if you're familiar with duplicate poker, but we're trying to really promote poker as a mind sport. And what we're doing is we're trying to eliminate as much luck as possible, so the hands will be kind of set almost each pod, which I don't know if you've heard of the London Eye. It's really awesome. It's a big Ferris wheel, and this wheel has, they have the pods. You can actually, I think they have weddings in the pod. It's a really big, I think it can hold up to like 10 to 12 people or something like that. But
oh, wow.
It's going to be awesome. I mean, you've never seen poker being played in a Ferris wheel, right? So
right, no.
What are you talking about? I've been doing that for years.
I don't. I'm sure, but you know, it's really funny for me because I'm a little bit afraid of heights. But I hear that they blacked out, like they're gonna black it out, which, you know, is probably good for me because it's like
they're gonna die to the car, so you can't see out.
Oh. Yeah, I think, they're trying to, because everybody will be dealt the same hands on the tables. So they're basically, we're going to be scoring points based on how we play the hand. So we're going to just prove that, you know, everybody plays hands differently, and it's not just, you know, a matter of luck. It's based on the matter of skill. And it's going to be really awesome. So that's the Nations Cup, and the U.S. team looks pretty good so far. We have Barry Greenstein as the captain. We have Vanessa Self, Ali Aslami, Matt Matros, Isaac Haxton, myself, and, of course, Antonio Sindiari. So, really cool.
And is there an Aussie team?
I'm sorry?
Is there an Aussie team? Yeah, thank you, Ron. Please translate. Please translate.
I don't know if they've announced. There's 12 nations, though, but I don't think they've announced the Australian team yet. The UK team, pretty good so far as well. I know that they have Liv and Sam Trickett on the team as well. A few others. I haven't really looked into the teams yet. Maybe I should do a little bit of research. But
that's awesome.
I know that the US team is going to hold their own, and I know we're going to take it down, so I'm not too worried about that.
Yeah, you don't stand a chance anyway. Why even try? Why
Probably the Aussie team. Probably the Aussie team will be headed by Tony G.
You have your Aussie pride.
yeah. I'm thinking Tony G will head our team. Well, I
think that you should be rooting for the U.S. team, actually, because we're going to be taking it down. So you should always root for the people that you know you're going to win, but that's going to win.
And we're
I'm sort of Americanized.
Yeah.
So, you're probably right.
We're a lot nicer to you than anybody down in Australia anyway, so be nice.
Yeah, you're right. They're all arseholes here.
Oh, well,
they can't fight back as I say that.
You know, Jenny, can I call you Jenny? I called you Jenny from the Felt on Facebook earlier today. If I was in a Ferris wheel and it was all blacked out, if I was at the top or the bottom or the side, I think that, I'm not afraid of heights, but that might freak me out.
It'll be an interesting experience. I mean, first of all, I don't think this thing moves very fast. I don't know how, I haven't been on a roller coaster or anything like a ride in a year, like maybe many years actually. So it's a very slow moving thing. I don't even think it stops. So we have to get on it when it's moving. I was trying to figure that out.
What?
Yeah. So, but I think it rotates so slow. I think it's like one circulation takes about 30 minutes or so. I don't know. When I heard the London Eye, I'm like, oh, is that, what kind of place is that? And then I looked it up and I'm like, wow, it's a giant Ferris wheel. This is so cool. And so, yeah, I'm really looking forward to
the London Eye.
And... What's that?
Oh, I'm picturing you getting stuck at the door or trying to get on when it's moving.
Oh, Ryan, she's scared enough for five. Stop already.
I was thinking of it more of a cartoon.
Yeah, I just know that I'm probably not going to be wearing heels. I could just imagine, I'm kind of on the clumsy side, so I'd be the one to like fall into the Ferris wheel. So,
Jen, if there was ever a time for a ninja suit, this is
the there we go. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That's the moves moving into the Ferris wheel.
Hey, I just felt like. Oh, go ahead, Daniel. I got to get
something. Well, I was just going to say, what does everyone call you? They don't call you genocide, surely. You know, all your friends.
You know, I think the weirdest thing is I was actually dating a guy who had my number as genocide in there. And I'm like, wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he would, refer to me, friends and family members, genocide. I'm like, that's kind of weird. I mean... some people at the tables, they'll call me genocide. Some people call me Jen, whatever. I prefer them to not even know who I was. That'd be even better. Just,
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Yeah.
You want to share the guy's name? You can do that if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Are you currently dating anyone right now, Jen? Or are we?
The whole dating thing is a tough sore subject. I've had my ups and downs in the dating thing. I actually have been single for quite some time now, but it gets old, it gets boring.
You need to start to live like Tiffany and Maria do. You need to find a hip, someone to attach to and party with.
I think I like a male companion. I don't think that's for everybody, Daddy. I like the companionship of a guy for sure, but it's difficult dating in the poker world because as a female, I have to find a guy who's really, really secure with themselves because I have most of my friends are men. And so they don't understand that, they get a little jealous of that. And so I'm not a jealous person by default. It's just because it would be a double standard for me to get jealous if a guy had a bunch of girls that were friends. But I run into a lot of that, you're always around guys. Well, hey, mostly men play poker. There's not really, a lot of women that play poker yet. So it's an interesting thing. And plus, I really don't get out that much. When I go out, it's usually a poker thing. So it's I don't really meet that too many guys. I was actually thinking about doing the online dating thing, but I thought that would be kind of weird.
Oh, that would get out in a second, Jen. That would be all over the place.
I'm 28, I'm 28, I'm single. I would like to eventually meet the right guy, but who knows? He could be...
I did meet
whatever you do, don't have kids.
I want children eventually one day, for sure. I mean, I didn't when I was younger, but now, like, as I'm getting older and my, I could see myself having kids, but maybe not, like, tomorrow, for sure.
I would imagine you would have to have a pretty secure fella, you know, with the globetrotting you do and the magazines you've been in and just, you know, you're a pretty lady.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting suggestions here. Everyone's saying yes. OTR should run a competition to see who you choose to have a date with.
Could you imagine, like, what I could end up with? Come on now.
A monster.
that would be interesting, but I don't want to know the potential candidates for that, and I don't want to base it on some sort of competition. I mean, maybe if I had some selection to it.
Oh, I would set just the worst person, whoever that is out there, whoever you love you, and I would set you up with just being the worst person. Gets you. Well, you know what? If you wanted to, you know, game shows aren't something I'm opposed to. We love to do game shows here. I would set up
a game. I'm not doing a game show for dating. I'm sorry. I don't see the possible love of my life in a game show or, like, a bachelor type competition. I just don't, you know, I think there are great shows if you really want to go that route, but I don't think that I do. No. I'm more of a...
You're more of a like we all are.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're all like that. Who wants to meet someone on a game show or by a competition?
We all don't have the budget to send you to, like, Jamaica or anything like that on your date. So it might be.
Well, then that's totally out then, because that's exactly what I would expect.
stick to the online date idea. That sounds much better.
Just gonna sizzler. One of the things you talk about a lot out there on Facebook and Twitter is your cooking. You've started to get a little passion for cooking.
Oh, you guys, I'm a great candidate. No, I'm kidding. Something that I've always loved to do. I remember I used to bake for, like, all of my, like, girlfriends and everything. Like, one of my best friends, like, anytime she's over, she just is always like, can I please have your chocolate chip cookies? Can you just make them for me now? And I'm like, oh, you know, it's always... You're like, oh gosh, because I know that I'll probably end up eating like a million of them. So no, I can't do it. And then, so I found this blog from a gamer, like, friend of mine that I actually met playing World of Warcraft. She's, like, totally cool in Seattle, and she it just was like, you know, you should definitely look at this girl's blog roll. It's called, like, Skinny Paste, because it's everything that I love. And I think her and I, the woman who writes for this blog, she shares, like, the same palette as I do. I mean, just the similar taste and what we like. And all of her recipes are pretty much, like, everything that I love, but cut down, like, all of the butter, all of the creams, and they taste ridiculously good. So I'm thrilled with this, because I don't like to work out at all. I have to, like, eat healthy.
Oh, I don't really like to work out. Yeah.
It does. I always think that the people who, like, are complete fitness freaks, I'm like, you guys are, like, what do you do? Like, how do you get into that? I mean, I used to have a personal trainer just to wake me up to work out.
Yeah, all those people that are like, yeah, oh, I just had the best workout. Woohoo, oh,
yeah,
I feel
so
great.
They're so excited about it.
Idiot.
And they say that, like, they, you know, you get all these endorphins and all this stuff, and I'm like, man, no, I just want to sleep afterwards because And I'm the worst person, too, because even if I have someone babysitting me while I work out, it's like, you know, three little, like, things that are, I guess you could do, like, arm rolls or curls, or I don't even know what you call them. See, that's how bad I am. Or I'm just like, am I done yet? I'm like, ow, am I done yet? So it's the worst. Anyone who was ever my personal trainer, I'm really sorry for the hassle that I've ever put you through, because they fired me before.
That's gotta be the worst. Having somebody you're paying to help you fires you.
This is the best one, though. I remember when I was living in San Francisco, I was at 24 Hour Fitness, and I was always working out with this girl named Shannon. And I think she just got to the point where she wanted to humiliate me in the middle of the gym. So she would give me a jumping rope. and I couldn't even get this thing around my head. I would like slap my face with it. Like, and then she'd give me the ones that had those big, really heavy plastic links. So I would just like, I was just like abusing myself at the gym. I'm like, this is humiliating for me. Are you really gonna put me through this more and make me? She's like, you have to do at least 10 little jumps. And I'm like, I can't even do one. What are you doing to me? I don't understand. So, yeah, the public humiliation thing, just give me a jump rope.
Definitely not the sporty type. That means you're all grown.
Yeah, I never... There's, like, one time that there's football, football's kind of a thing on Thanksgiving, and I usually am the first one to, like, pass out with my family. And I just... Something about it, I think it's, you know, I used to try a bunch of sports. Like, I played softball a little bit and basketball, and I was always the one that was sitting on the bench. So there's something to be said about my hand-eye coordination. I'm not very coordinated.
Well, I say that you are smarter than Jesus without a doubt in my mind. That one of your Twitters. Oh my God, I was laughing so hard. Water into wine.
So we didn't have to go back very far. We went back a couple, I don't think I got all the way through September, but we went back through your Facebook and Twitter posts and just copied a couple of our favorites.
I love it. Water into wine, that's lame. I turn cash into vodka. Your move, Jesus Christ. Totally one up that time.
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, growing up in Catholic school, that's usually that, you know, we're taught, like, all the, you know, I guess we're probably the bad kids, you know, all these Catholic school kids and private school kids. Yeah, we were the ones that were always, you know, like, making fun
of. My wife is the son. My wife is the daughter of a pastor.
Oh, really?
Who grew up in a very, you know, kind of a strict religious kind of like household deal. And she busted right out of that when she could, let me tell you.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, for sure. Like, I was definitely in junior year, I was kindly asked to leave Catholic school. But, but I'm not going to explain why or give the reasons on air. But
I'm starting to discover your dating troubles.
You know, in college, I was actually very studious and a hard worker, but in high school, my attendance was, I think, my senior year, I missed, like, 38 days. I think the worst was actually, like, being, you know, I think I was getting coffee at, like, Dunkin' Donuts or something after skipping, you know, one of my classes and seeing my principal and, oh, gosh, that was embarrassing. Like, oh, Mr. Potter, hello. Like, how are you doing? Oh, Jen, aren't you supposed to be in class? Yeah, about that class. totally forgot. I lost where I was at. Totally, yeah, so, I mean, it's funny, too, because my 10-year reunion's coming up, and a lot of my high school buddies, you know, they kind of follow the poker thing. So I'm like, God, did you guys even know who I was? I was never there.
Yeah. Now they're all like, oh, yeah, Jen.
Yeah. We actually, my school, we have a couple really, you know, a couple people who have made a couple primetime NBC shows, and there's a girl who's in a new movie coming out so, I mean, we have, like, a very talented graduating class, so I'm not the only one that's, you know, doing some crazy things out there.
Here's one about dating. It said, now, Danny, this might be good for you. It says, some dude wanted to be my friends with benefits. I said no. He didn't have a health or dental or eye plan. Obviously not a good deal.
I think one of my favorites was the one because I was looking in the mirror and I realized how, like, pasty white I was and pale because I don't really do a whole lot of tanning. And I don't really go out that much because I am a computer nerd. So it was like I'm so pale, I make all my relationships look interracial and very
short. Oh, Jenny from the felt. Jesus would not like that.
Yeah,
you know,
I like
wish I had read that. I wish I had have read that Twitter when I was 18, you know, 19, before I got married.
Which one?
The one about having no health, dental, or eye plan.
Then you wouldn't have all your wonderful kids.
Yeah, and then I wouldn't have all my wonderful debts either.
Yeah, Jen, you don't want kids. They cause debts.
They do.
They do what?
They're
cause debts. Yeah.
I still couldn't hear you.
Debt. Massive debt. Massive United States style debt.
Oh, yeah, I mean, but...
No, they're kidding. I would trade my kids for less than something.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you could give your kids a cardboard box and they'd love it, you know? So
Let me tell you something. As the father of a 5- and 2-year-old, that cardboard box, while exciting for a half an hour,
as the mother of a 14-year-old and a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old, that cardboard box is what everything comes in that costs a fortune.
Yeah.
Yeah, you sound quite busy over there. You have a lot of kids, huh?
Oh, I do.
I don't know if you were listening before you came on, but she was almost abducted last week. And the week before that, someone tried to break in her garage and she broke her toe trying to chase them down.
Yeah, I haven't had good luck in the past weeks. Actually, I've never had good luck. I better tell the truth.
I'm glad you mentioned that you're a nerd, Jen, because I'm one too. You know, computers.
Me too.
Anything, you know, I have my telescopes. I like science and astronomy and whatnot.
Danny's a nerd.
Yeah, Danny's a nerd.
How about this asteroid, right?
The one that...
Yeah.
A couple weeks back, Danielle was just freaking out that some asteroid was imminently about to
hit. I was. It was coming. It was coming when? At the end of October, beginning of November? This must have been the one, Ryan.
No, this was a different
one. Yeah, this is a different one. This one actually is not in the moon's orbit.
Okay. All right. But
actually, when I was reading more about it, I was kind of thrown back because there is this movie that was like a special on ABC like a few years ago, and it, of course, it was complete sci-fi and like a hypothetical what if. But if the moon was hit by an asteroid and kind of placed out of the moon's orbit, how it would affect Earth, and I mean, everything would be affected. Yeah, the tides. First of all, people would actually. It would affect everything, every element that, you know, the Earth is on. And people are like, actually, like, I really want to learn how to levitate, and that's one way you can do it for sure.
That's a good pickup line. Hey, you want to levitate? I can move.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go quiet now. You have scared me again.
Oh, I'm so glad you're...
No, I'm so sorry. No, I am. If you really don't want to be scared, then don't watch this movie, Melancholy. I think it's Melancholia. It's a movie based on... They find this kind of hidden planet that becomes like a target to actually collide with Earth. And it's got Kirsten Dunst in it. Very weird movie. Very long, long like plot because it's all over the place. And then... At the end, you know, you see like this. I'm not going to tell the spoiler.
Don't do that.
So anyway, yeah, there's a lot of interesting. There's also another movie too that's, I think it's really a cool concept about parallel universes and, kind of they discovered a planet that is, or they were able to contact people on another planet, but they were kind of. Your parallel, so there's like another.
Oh, neat!
You know,
they're kind of talking to
themselves. Yeah, exactly. I'm really into, you know.
Now, have you, by any chance, watched the movie Fourth Kind?
Oh, you
kind?
And this movie.
Oh, yeah. I have, and you know, again.
Oh,
it was,
yay!
You tell her it's a bunch of crap.
It didn't really do anything for me. There's...
Now will you stop bringing it up every week?
All right, okay. All right. Well, it worried me.
I mean, I think that, like, do I really think that, like, we're alone? Like, actually, one movie that I really like is a Nicolas Cage movie because it reminds me of, like, the old school sci-fi, and it's called Knowing. And it was just a really well-done movie because in the beginning you think it's going to be, like, a horror film because, you know, this girl looks possessed and, you know, all this stuff, but it has to do with actually, you know, another like kind of like a plot, like if there if we're actually alone in the universe, but
there's no possible way we're alone in this. There is some form of
there's
life.
There's a mathematical equation. I forget the scientist who did it.
It starts with an N. It starts with
Yeah. It's like the a ridiculous amount of exponents and factors, but you know they I think it actually equates to like 1.5, so there could be like a race that's in development, kind of like
there's a general rule in the universe that if it happens one time, it happens everywhere. Because there's just, Danny, the number of stars, never mind planets surrounding the star, most of the stars in the universe are average stars like our sun, about the same size, same heat, same brightness, all. So they're ripe for planets. So just imagine, we've already found like 1,500 planets rotating other stars just in our own galaxy. So now I want you to take that we've observed 100 billion galaxies, each with about an average of 150 to 250 billion stars or more. Ours has about 400. So you do the
math. I don't want to think anymore, Ryan.
Okay. We'll let them get off the nerd time. I think we're gonna have Jen on every week for a little nerd time.
I'm a big fan. I mean, I can't wait until we can like develop some sort of way to actually travel at the speed of light and have like holodecks and things like that. I mean, that's just.
I don't think that's coming in our lifetime, Dal. But
yeah, you never know. Who knows?
Never know. You never know. So it's back, but a little more nerd stuff. You're a video game nerd. I want to hear all about that.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Well, I grew up being a gamer. You know, I from the age, I guess, of three, you know, I was multitasking with Barbies and playing video games, you know. And I started off playing, like, Dragon Warrior, Final Fantasies. Of course, these were, like, the 8-bit, you know. They're just NES games, but I think I even remember, I think I probably even have my Atari, like, up in the attic somewhere, but...
I do.
What's that?
I do, I still have, well, I mean, it's at my mom's house, but I still
have a Commodore 64. I was hooked on them.
Yeah, I mean, and of course, you know, with the computers, too, but the one thing that I noticed with me and my gaming is when I go hard, I definitely commit completely fully to something, and it can be a complete time sink for me. I mean, I think that there's been times where I've been, you know, like in a complete virtual reality world, and you know, people don't even call me like, people just refer to me for a while like as my characters on like World of Warcraft or Ion or something. So it's really funny. But it's just I love the character progression and. I feel like it's something that has
I never started Warcraft or any of those online. I've played all the Final Fantasies on the consoles as they've come out growing up. But, I'll never stop.
I remember I'm like also a very avid Jeopardy viewer, and I'm always sitting there and like you know blurting out like all the answers, and so it's like what was it? There was this one guy who quit his job, to play full time like World of Warcraft. So I was like, oh, wow. Like I've been there. I mean, sometimes it was helpful when I was, you know, sitting there. I'd sit there with my laptop on, and I'd like play a few tables online, and then I would, you know, be grinding my character to at the same time. But it would be really annoying because for my people and like in raids and things like that, they're like. If I was, you know, either DPS, which is like a damage doer, or you know, a healer, they'd be like, "What are you doing? Like, genocide? What are you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm sorry, I'm in hand." You know, like, oh god.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
That's great. I can't imagine there. Now, do you find a lot of other, you know, as you travel around and playing all these tournaments and whatnot, and see all these people? Do you find a lot of other people have similar like video game interests like that and play Warcraft that you didn't know?
Yeah, actually, one of my teammates, Ali Aslami, we used to play WoW together. And the way that we met playing poker was at a tournament, and I think we both were, like, talking about gaming so much and, like, music and everything that we, like, forgot that we were playing poker there. It was, like, a 10K or a 5K Legends tournament, and we were just, oh, wow, whoops. But then we just started playing a lot of different video games together, but we both kind of, you know, he quit WoW like way like well before me, and he was just like, Jen, you kind of, you know, he's like, how much poker have you played lately? And I'm like, oh, well, you don't understand. I'm really close to getting this weapon. And he's like, Jen, you know, you should probably level up in real life first. And then
that's a classical thing to say.
There you go.
That's great. Sometimes I forget I want you to Facebook that right now.
Go tweet that right now.
Yeah, that's classic.
I'm currently leveling up in real life, that's all.
I want to get back to the food for a minute, because speaking of tweets, was you'd made seared scallops with a baby spinach and parmesan ricotta. Oh my goodness, okay, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, okay, well, if you guys want a quick cooking easy tip, okay, when you sear scallops, they're super fast, and whatever you do, like, as I know a lot of people like to, when they put something in a pan, they like to move them around a lot. You don't touch them until, like, you kind of peek underneath and see that they're, like, a really nice, like, brown, you know, nicely seared with that brown. Really,
and you
got to
get
color.
The big ones. You got to get big.
Well, that's the thing. When you get sea scallops, okay, they are always big, but sometimes what happens is when you move them around and you get too, like, creative in the pan, you end up overcooking them, and they curl up, and they're like, they look like little bay scallops.
Nice. Yeah.
So what's your favorite dish you've made so far?
Oh wow. I think.
What's your favorite food?
What's my favorite food? I mean, I'm a kind of a foodie, so I can't really say what's my favorite food. I do love, like, a lot of ethnic cuisine. There's one dish that whenever, like, I want to indulge and kind of go off with the way that I'm eating, I love ordering, like, a chicken tikka masala, or a butter chicken, from Indian cuisine. But unfortunately, I found a recipe that's, like, the light version of a chicken tikka masala. But I want to definitely see how that one is.
Have you taken any classes or anything? I am interested.
Yeah.
By the way, Danny, your new nickname is Butter Chicken. I just want to make sure you know that.
Why?
I just like the word Butter Chicken. It just sounds good.
I would have to say the biggest thing for me that I really like to, I guess, work on are my knife skills. I think I'm a little afraid. I'm really clumsy, and I watch a lot of those, like, Chopped and...
Oh,
and
no, they're like, fast, aren't they?
And so, like, while I'm watching these shows, though, I'm, like, sitting there thinking about when I go out to eat, like, how much blood and sweat goes into my food. But then I'm like, I really don't want to think about that because I really like going out to eat sometimes. So
I just try to look past that.
But... so when I'm working with knives and cutting up and dicing food, I'm very, like, very slow and very careful. I could never really, you know, go into the culinary world, I think, because I'm just kind of a very laid back, very, you know, so...
And I need that now. I haven't started yet. I
use blunt knives. Truly, I do. I can't be trusted with a knife.
That's scary.
Late at night in the infomercials, they have those choppers. You can get one of those things. You ever seen
Yeah, you know, the food processors are great, but I mean, still, like, sometimes just chopping things up, I don't use the right technique. I just kind of eyeball it, and everything isn't really diced to
big butcher knife, just chopping shit away.
Yeah, nice for me. I don't know. I'm just so afraid of, like, chopping a finger off. Oh, and this is actually really funny. So my dinner yesterday, I made, like, a chicken pot pie soup with, like, a little puff pastry on top.
Oh, yum.
Yeah, yum. Except for a couple days ago, I guess this is why a lot of chefs and cooks don't wear nail polish or anything. I put, like, all of these crystals, like, on my nails, like, on the tips of my nails. It was, like, a French manicure. And as I'm chewing one of the pieces, I, like, get this really big crunch, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, how is there a bone in here? But it was actually a bunch of crystals that I was chewing on. So I almost had to go get to the dentist and get, like, a veneer done or something. So I'm so lucky that I think I have to wear gloves for cooking now with these crystals on my nails. I don't really want to.
They make gloves like that that are like chainmail, you know, that you can wear.
Really?
That's actually a very good idea.
They make them for cooking, I think. They're not very thin. I think I've seen.
I might want to look into that, because then I won't. Yeah, I'm so afraid of, like, cutting a finger off. I'm very clumsy, and I could just, like, slide something, and whoops, there goes a finger.
So if you take classes, do you want to take classes, anything like that?
Sounds like she doesn't need anything. To.
Yeah.
Except for the cutting.
I'm very self-paced. Like, I like to kind of explore and adventure on my own. And if someone was telling me how to do something, I'm really kind of bad at authority. So I just kind of look at them and be like, no, I'm doing it my way.
I told you earlier in the week, I grew up in a huge Italian family, full of women. So cooking and cleaning are the other thing I learned. But cooking for sure. And
wow, do you clean?
Yeah, I do.
I don't do that at all. I'm like the messiest person. I don't know if you've ever seen, like, I did this thing. I think it was when an earthquake was on the East Coast, and so
yeah, you can hear what it happened. Yeah.
Yeah, that was actually really weird. And then of course we had Hurricane Irene, and that was kind of devastating for a lot of the flooding and everything over here. So but it was so my rooms are usually very, very, very messy because I, you know, when I'm back from traveling and everything, I don't really want to. I can't wait to get to that laundry. And not only that, but I also kind of, I'm not a hoarder. I'm just going to say, maybe I'm like.
That's the first thing a hoarder says as the husband.
I'm in denial, okay? I'm just denial. I like to give away things that I know that, you know, I just never will wear, and that's a lot of things. And I'm an avid online shopper and a horrible returner. So I have, like, it was very enlightening one day looking through my closet and, like, calculating all the tags as to how much I've spent and actually never even worn. Goodwill and Salvation Army around here love me. I mean, I'm always. And it's so weird because I'll go through things and I'll have, like, you know those big leaf bags, the black ones? Like, I'll have, like, four of those filled, like, every few months. And I'm like, it's still not going down. Like,
I wish my wardrobe was like that.
Well, in a weird way, though.
I never have anything to wear, either. It's so weird. Like, I can never find anything to wear.
I find that quite hard to believe.
No, I really seem to have, like, a few things that I love to wear. And then I just... that's it, and I'll have like a million things that I just never wear.
It's almost a wonder you've ever left the house.
Yeah, no, that's why. Why do I have all these clothes? You know, what's the purpose?
Yeah, what do you need them for?
Yeah, no, I mean, I do go out. It's just, you know, I live in a small.
It's nice that you give back.
And I'm kind of, you know, when I was 23, 24, 25, 26. Yeah, 27 too, maybe. I used to go out a lot when I was in Vegas too, you know, but now that it just seems like, you know, when I'm just kind of, I like to enjoy, like, just sitting back watching, you know, a good movie.
No, it happens.
You know.
You're getting older. It happens.
Hey,
I'm
watch 10 it.
Years
watch
older
it.
Than you. I'm 10 years older than you. And at the same point in time, Danny, the airplane stopped. What did you do?
That's because I muted. I muted my mic just for a second.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I love to have a good time, but I don't feel that it's necessary to have a good time every night.
There comes a point in your life where one day, and it's not anything you do on purpose or anything that happens to you, I think it happens. You wake up and say, I don't want to just... I'm tired.
I do,
you know,
miss,
when I
want
to,
I miss living in Vegas for the sole fact that, you know, if I did have like a heavy dinner, just going out to nightclubs and having like a place to dance. If you like go out in Wilmington, Delaware, there's like, I think Delaware is like against people dancing. I have no idea, but there's like no place. And if I want to go out,
does Kevin
really
Bacon
have... what's that?
Does Kevin Bacon know that there's no dancing in Delaware?
I have no idea. Is that a reference to anything?
Footloose, Kevin Bacon, none of you, nobody. I got nothing.
Oh. Sorry.
Nothing.
Yeah, wow. Sorry. You are, you know, you do have those 10 years on me. I don't know.
What, Luke?
No, but no. Honestly, I really, I just, I would love to have like a place to go to dance. But I'm like a really big, even if I have like just like a little neck of a beer, I will not drive. So it's very difficult for me to even look into like driving up to Philly and going to a club there because I just don't drink and drive. I had a friend, a really good friend of mine in the hacker community that was struck by a drunk driver. So I'm really
It was really hard.
When I was younger, I flipped a car and I was a little tipsy. Woke me up.
You know, I'm a very fast driver in general. So I just know that, you know, if I were to be under the influence, I would be the one that would be like, oh, let's do this, you know. And plus, another local, I don't know if you guys are, you know, follow the Jackass, but Ryan Dunn, he was killed doing. That's the same thing. I mean, he was
going yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Me in a harp. When I walked out, the car was upside down. It was a Jeep Cherokee. And there was a fence post in the passenger seat that if somebody had been sitting there, they'd have been skewered. But I walked out. I was fine. I didn't have a scratch on me. And I was sitting there staring at my car upside down in the middle of the night in the winter. And I was like, okay, I don't think I'm going to drive drunk anymore.
I haven't.
Since that day. Which was, I think it was 18 or 19. I've worn my seatbelt every time I get in a car, and I've never drank and drive since. So
well,
it sucks that it took that wake up. Me too. I would work.
I missed that. I really missed that. I didn't hear what she just said.
She says, "I hope I stick with it."
I thought you said I really missed that, like as if you're referring to drunk driving.
I really missed that,
but I was completely obliterated and got behind the wheel.
car trees all day long. It was a night. My friend had just got back from doing a semester of school in Dublin, came back and got back late. Just stopped by to say hi. He'd been gone for like 6 months, and I had no intention of drinking or nothing. I was actually on my way home. You know, he's a good boy, and his dad goes, "Here, have a couple beers." I said, "No, I'm on my way home." He goes, "He just got back from Ireland. You're not gonna have a couple beers with him?" I said, "All right." You know, and then two turned into however many turned into, and then next thing you know, I was upside down. So don't drink.
Don't drink and drive. Don't text and drive.
Oh, see, I swear to God, today.
Put your phone down for a few minutes.
Today is just all about upsetting me. My ex-husband, obviously an ex-husband for a reason, actually had an accident drink driving and killed his best friend. So there you go. Definitely a bad idea.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's why, you know, I like living in a city, I think it's a little bit easier for people, you know, like if you live in Vegas or, you know, just downtown New York or something like that, because you kind of...
Hello?
All the time.
Hello, locked. Hello?
You there, Jen? We lost you for a sec.
Oh, hi.
Your phone
cut out.
Can
you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay.
All right, well, let's move off to the much happier
topic.
Let's talk about a little bit more cheerful subjects here.
Here's what I want to talk. We got about 10 more minutes. There's one thing I do. Since you are a woman, and you do play poker, and you're a professional woman poker player, we do have to appeal to the masses and touch on it a little bit. But one thing I want to do is find out, you don't have the normal views that most women poker players do. So what is your current overall feeling of women in poker and the state it's in and where it's going and what they're trying to do, that kind of stuff?
I mean, I really think that a lot of these like ladies events, they're great for women that are trying to, you know, get involved in the poker community and, you know, even just learn the game and feel maybe less intimidated. But because the ladies events for me, I always played, you know, kind of as a faceless opponent online. And mm-hmm. So I never had that, you know, I feel as though I personally would enjoy like playing like more open events, just because I feel like if a woman wins one of those events, it's more of like it's more prestigious. Well, no, it's just more prestigious. Okay. But I do think you know a woman winning any event in general is great. But I don't think that you know women's events should be you know eliminated or anything like that. I think that it's great for some Now, is it for me? Not so much, because I really enjoy even just playing poker in general. I mean, do I feel like if I register for a ladies tournament, oh, hell yeah, I know I'm going to have an edge. I feel like a lot of women sometimes like it for more of a social aspect, and they get caught up in, like, chatting about their children or their husbands or things like that, and then all of a sudden they'll all of a sudden stop really talking when they look at their hand, and it's like, oh, sweet, like, okay, like, thanks. But I feel like in general, I think that if we have, like, women's events, we should also have men-only events, just to make it kind of evened out.
See, someone agrees with me.
Good. Somebody does.
Finally.
That's one.
I think the same goes for, you know, seniors events. Why don't we have a juniors event?
Yeah.
That would be a ridiculous deal
a junior event somewhere this year? I'm pretty sure there was.
That's a good idea. Why aren't there senior events?
I think it was won by Jan Pushon. I remember seeing him, write something about it on his Facebook. Not sure where.
I think you're right. I think part of the problem is maybe that we're not, or the poker industry is not, like you said, divvying it up enough. There's not enough categories. When you're just having men and women and then women, that's not going to solve any problems. That's doing what it does now and just creates another argument. I know
that we have had a few men register for these ladies tournaments, and, you know, like Sean Deeb dressing up like a woman and things like that. But I think that, you know, hey, like,
tampon card covers.
I can throw my hair back and, you know, wear a hat and pretend that I'm a boy and I'll play like a men's only event.
Well, you know, it's easy for you to say, Jen, and some of the other women poker players out there that are professionals, because they have played with the boys and they've gotten to the club and they've beaten them, you know, and they've been respected and stuff. But I guess the ladies who go to these tournaments, or just ladies only, don't have the guts, or they don't have the skills, or whatever it is. And I think what you're saying is having it more of a social aspect is kind of the idea, as opposed to...
I think, and not only that, but, you know, I feel that, you know, I definitely am an advocate for women, you know, getting out there and definitely playing, because I do feel like we have, like, a certain edge. I mean, sometimes at the higher level, I don't feel like, you know, it really matters, but if we're playing, like, an open event and, like, we're playing, like, a $1,000 event or something like that, there's actually some guys I know that play hands completely different, like, than they would, you know, against somebody else. I've had many guys actually, like, you know, hey, like, you know, after this tournament, you want to go get a drink or something like that. And I'm like, come on, really? Like, are you trying? I have no interest in that at all. You know, maybe after the tournament's over, we'll talk, but, you know, I'm not.
Not right now. Come on, I'm playing.
You got to ask them their World of Warcraft level first before you
And also
no,
if they have
no,
their medical
actually,
insurance.
I don't think... You know, I did date somebody that, you know, I used to play a lot of games with, and it's really difficult because, you know, when you're in a relationship, you want to go out, you want to do things, and we had, like, WoW dates, you know?
Till you have kids. Till you have kids.
Yeah, like, right. Oh, like, we have a raid tonight. Like, we can't do this. So, you know, I like to have someone that actually introduces me to things where I can learn things from and you know, that kind of, you know. I'm a pretty open-minded person, so I like to, you know, learn different things and...
You actually made a good segue for me, because, you know, we've had the likes of, we've had Maria Ho, and we've had Tiffany, and Vanessa Russo is here, and, you know, we've had others that are really, you know, we got Danny every week, that are good-looking, attractive women who have...
Well, thank you, Ryan.
At some point in their... I was kissing your hand. At some point, they, you know, they use their hotness. Tiffany said to us that she tried not to do it, and then at some point just decided to show everybody how hot she could be. When did you decide that was something you were going to have to do or want to do, or, you know, make your sex appeal be part of your image?
I don't. Honestly, like, when it even comes to, like, clothing choice, like, I you know, pick what I want, like, what I want to wear. I'm just never, when I go out, even when it's like, even if I go to a grocery store, you won't see me in a pair of sweats and, like, you know, like, just scuffed up, unless I'm really not feeling well. That's usually when I'm, you know, doing stuff with my hair and my makeup, and I'm just a girly girl, like, that's all. Like, so I've always wanted to, you know, I always like that stuff, heels, that kind of thing. So it's not like it's something that I was like, oh yeah, like I know for a fact, like I'm just gonna wear this really low cut shirt. I just, you know, hey, if you got it, you know, why not flaunt it? Why not? You know, it just how I've always been. I just, I
got to be an advantage for you in a tournament, especially, you know, with a bunch of guys around. Like you said,
It depends on the tournament. It depends on the level. I mean, if you're competing at the highest levels, you know, whatever. I really don't think, you know, someone is going to base their decisions on how hot the girl is. But you know, there are a lot of amateurs out there that do. You know, I know that like some men, if they have a daughter that's, you know, my age, they play their hand completely wrong against me because they have like this protection type level. You know, and of course, like, I think adding a woman to the table adds a completely different dynamic. But like I said, like, it all depends on your table draw. There's some guys who will play softly against you. There's also guys who will play completely erratically against you because they're kind of that chauvinistic type person who, like, feels like men in poker, that's, like, their game. So, you know, they do, you know, kind of try to, like, push you out of pots and they overplay their hands against you. And, hey, keep doing that because, you know, you're going to get kind of trapped in those situations. So,
have you ever had anybody go off on you or be
That's
rude?
That's what I was yes. just going to say. I was going to say, I've got to ask.
I'm also,
go ahead, ask me. Go ahead, ask
I'm
a
not,
question. Hold on, Jen.
Actually, what's that?
Danny, oh, I've got to ask. I ask everyone because, I mean, I can't be the only woman that, you know, has men go completely off tap at her. Can't be.
Oh, yeah. Actually, recently I had a huge dispute with somebody that I was playing a mixed game. It was a 40-80 mixed game at the Rio, I believe, over the series. And there was this guy who sat down and, like, I just saw him kind of, like, hawking me. Like, not in, you know, the way that, like, he was flirting with me. Just kind of, like, I don't like this girl being in my game. Like, this is like a, you know, mid stakes game and, well, mid to higher stakes game, and this is just not, she should not be in this game. And so I was playing heads up in a stud 8 or better hand, and I was sitting next to my opponent, and so we were cutting the bets out in front of each other because it's a split pot game. So that's how it's essentially played. And so the guy says to me, Miss, Could you place your bets over the betting, you know, the betting ring? And I'm like, I look at him and I'm like, excuse me? Like, are you, first of all, I was like, you're not in this hand. I'm playing heads up in this pot. I said, and secondly, we're playing a split pot game. Do you know how these are played? And I, like, you know, he tried to, like, angle shoot me, like, trying to, I guess. So the next bet, I think it was on Fifth Street, you know, I of course, cut out my bet, and I lean all the way to, he was sitting in the one seat and I was sitting in the seventh seat. So I lean all the way across the table and I place it in front of him. And I'm like, is this better for you, sir? And so, you know, if somebody does, like, that's the thing. If somebody tries to get on, like, needle me a little bit, I'm kind of a sharp-tongued person and I'll do it right back. And it kind of backfires on them because he actually, after that hand, he was not in the pot, not involved in the hand. He got up from the game and quit, so it was fine because he was in it anyway, so it didn't matter.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, but no, it's just, you know, it's common courtesy, I feel. It's like, you know, just, if you don't know how the dynamics of the game is played, you know, if you don't know how, you just don't try to angle shoot or, you know, needle somebody, especially when you're not involved in the hand. You know, and so, and I have a lot of, you know, a lot of guys that, like, want to make snark comments at me, and, hey, it'll come right back at you. You know, sometimes, you know, I'll smile.
Yeah,
if
that's
I'm
the Northeast in you, that's why.
Yeah, well, it's just, right. If you're going to be rude, then, you know, that's completely uncalled for. And even the dealer, I remember the dealer, he was very, like, you know, polite, and he just kind of was, like, laughing because he understood the frustration and the whole table. But it was also the fact that he was kind of just tilting himself because he was in the wrong. So
he was just mad you were there.
Exactly. Yeah. I think he wanted. He knew that I was, I was doing quite well in the game, and so maybe he was just trying to get under my skin. But
so because you're a decent player, thick, you're not allowed to play.
I have pretty thick skin, though. I mean, I've been, kind of in the, you really can't say much to me that's gonna make me mad unless you insult like a really good friend of mine or my family. But
Don't say that in case someone's listening.
What's that?
Don't say that in case someone's listening. If it's gonna now go and insult, yeah. Shh.
Oh no, I mean, like, even if they do, like, just be wary, because I'm very protective of like family and friends. When you see the bad side.
Northeast, baby. I'm from New York. So that's what.
Yeah, you can say whatever you like about me, but just don't mess with people I love.
and it's gonna come back to you in spades. But many people around this community and Not So Radio staff have learned that if they open their mouth, it's gonna come back to them.
I'm generally not the person that I'm not confrontational when it comes to people who have done wrong against me or anything like that. And I just am, very mellow. I'm kind of like, peace, love, whatever. I used to be kind of into like the music and the raver scene. So we have this quote called peace, love, unity, respect, or plur. And I really believe in that. Like, that's kind of like a motto, but just don't disrespect people around me and things like that. And we'll be okay.
So speaking of respect then, do you think that, since when you started playing and now, there's any difference for women in poker? Is it the same? Are they making progress? What progress? What I don't understand is, being a fella and seeing what I see out there, where I don't see, I'm not sitting at the tables, and the things we've talked about, you said, have gone on, obviously happened, but what is it that you guys are trying, or as women are trying to get to? What don't you have? It's not like you can't vote. I just don't understand what you're trying to achieve as women in the hall.
We're not trying to achieve anything.
What are you bitching about?
We're trying to do the same thing that you guys are doing.
Exactly.
But aren't you?
And make a living.
But aren't you? Are you not doing that? But aren't you doing that already?
Well, yeah, I'm not. I'm personally not like 100%. Like, I don't base like everything on only tournaments. So I play cash games. So I mean, I think we do have like so many wonderful poker players out there that are female. I mean, we look at Vanessa Russo, Vanessa Salas, Maria Ho. I mean, we'll go through like the list: Jennifer Harmon, Linda Johnson, who's being inducted to the Poker Hall of Fame. We have so many wonderful poker players that are female. It's just the fact that a lot of people, I guess, they look at. If you look at the numbers, if you look at how many entrants into the events that are women, and the, if we were to make every field 50-50, I guarantee you women would have, close to it, actually the same results as men. It has nothing to do with, actually the skill level. And I think that, as an individual, if we just take out the whole gender issue in general, if you set your mind to something and if you want to learn something, the inside, the outs to it, the dynamics, if you want to study the game, it doesn't matter what gender you are. It really does not. I mean, we have the same capacity as men.
Or age.
Not more.
But maybe what it is, and I'm just playing devil's advocate to get you two fired up. Maybe what it is there just aren't enough.
Oh, you're a horrible person.
You've done this with me for 6 months. Maybe just what it is there aren't enough women who want to play.
That's exactly what it comes down to. How many women do you see like want to go out and hey, like, everybody, let's go and try out for the football team, or like how many women are involved? Or even if we're talking about poker as more of a mind sport, how many women are involved in chess? I don't know if like there's a study on the dynamics of women. Maybe they're more competitive in like the actual like physical components of everything, like wanting to look better or like things like that. I don't know if that's maybe what it comes down to, or other women have different aspirations, and you never know. I don't think that there are many women interested, and this is because several of my girlfriends growing up, I've even been like, hey, you would be really a great poker player, like, why don't I sit down with you and we'll go through this. They just honestly have no attention span for it at all, and they just kind of, this is this is cool, but I don't think I can see myself doing it. You know,
it sounds like you guys are going to spin your wheels for years trying to make something out of nothing.
Well, yeah,
Ryan.
I'm just playing the other side. How could I be accused of not loving the women in poker around here? Holy crap.
If there's women that are interested in it, that there's a great event for them. Like, they have the Lips Tour. They have a lot of different ladies tournaments that they want to, you know, learn to play just by playing against women. That's wonderful for them. That's an option for them out there. But I really don't think that there's, you know, if they're not interested in the game, you're just not going to attract that. I think that the people who are interested in poker, they like being competitive at mm-hmm. some level, you know, whether it's, you know, video games or magic or, you know, other different types of things like that. So I just think that it comes down to the person and not their gender.
It does indeed. It does. It does.
You're all just crazy, that's what I think. No women. No women anywhere.
What? I think that men can be just as insane, trust me.
You know,
absolutely.
It's funny with, you know, someone like, you know, you and Marie and Tiffany and these pretty girls that come sit down, and when you guys are actually good and have something between your ears and can actually, you know, hold conversations and carry on a life that's a normal, you know, human being and not just be a box of rocks. Which is probably what they're all expecting. It's probably a big shock for them. It's probably hard for some guys to get over. And I bet, like, that one guy at your cast table probably don't get over it. They don't know how to get over it, and they just laugh at it.
No, I think, you know, and I think there's a lot to be said, too, that it's really difficult for a guy who has been successful at the poker tables to get accredited for things he's done and, you know, get the same kind of attention as someone like, you know, me or Maria, like you said, you know, because there's so few of us, we get a lot more attention based on, you know, not having as many results as some of the guys out there who get limited attention for it. So that's just because there's less of us. That's all it has to do with. That's all it really comes down to.
Do you think you'll do this for a long, long time, or you think you'll get tired of it?
It's a part of my life. It's, like, built into me, you know. I've always kind of been the type of person that, like, when I'm passionate about something, it doesn't really quite go away. So there's times where, you know, I feel like in, like, 2006, 2007, I really, really traveled the circuit hard and really, like, committed a lot to myself, like, in the game and just playing cash games, like, day and night. And, like, 2008, 2009, I was kind of on the burned out side. But then after taking the break, it built, like, a lot of passion for me. And then after April 11th or April 15th for Black Friday, like, having online poker and taking that for granted and then not having it, it was just, like, if I had known, I would have really not been burned out 2008, 2009. Like, I really would have. But it's one of those things, too, where I feel like taking breaks when you know that you're not playing your best is, like, the best thing for you, because then you can come back with fire.
All right, well, listen, we've kept you for a long time. There's two more things I want to touch on that you're a part of. One is the Playground Club Poker, and the other is the International Poker Federation, which I'm interested to learn about. So tell us about those.
Well, the International Poker Federation is part of the Nations Cup. Basically, that's what we'll be doing. We'll be playing the duplicate poker. I leave on the 15th, and I'll be getting into on the 16th. So we're playing the one event called The Table, and that's, you know, the six people from the U.S., and we'll be competing against 11 other nations, so I'm...
Aussie!
I don't think they were invited.
There might be an Australian team, so I guess be on the lookout for who's on that team. So then there's also... and then right after London, I go right to Montreal, and every time that I'm at the Playground Poker Club, it's, like, the best experience, but I'm there. I was there in September, and that's definitely the primary place where I play when I'm in Montreal. And it's, like, really awesome because the staff there, they're, like, the coolest people ever. It's just a very laid-back, very beautiful, beautiful town. I love Montreal. And this time it'll be a benefit. It's a banquet, basically. But at the end they have a $350 charity tournament where they are going to be playing with some of NHL's finest. So.
Nice. Hmm. When is this? When is this again?
That's December 4th.
Ooh, it's gonna be cold in Montreal.
I know. Everywhere is gonna be cold where I'm going, so I'm gonna be packing pretty heavily with some.
Well, at least you're used to it from growing up there on the East Coast. When I was a young kid, before I was 21, between the ages of about 15 to 21, we were about 45 minutes from Montreal. I lived in Syracuse. And we used to go up to Montreal all the time because we could get into the strip clubs and, drink and all that stuff.
So, oh, yeah, I'm all about that, too.
I know it. All right, we're gonna take a little break. Jen, stick around for a minute. I want to thank you for joining us. It was an absolute pleasure to have you, and you are
welcome. It was fun.
Yeah, great. And
I had a ball.
Well, I'm glad, Danny. I said to Jen earlier today, I said, I really hope we make sure Danny has a good time on the show.
I'm glad.
Did you have fun, Danny?
I did. Okay. I'm having fun winning this tournament, too. Multitasking.
Nice.
Oh, you're winning the tournament?
Of course I am. I told you, I've got to get chipped up so that I can go and collect the kids.
Wait till I find out you're
back in time.
All right, we're going to take a break. Stick around with us here, Jen. Thanks a lot. We'll see everybody soon.
Perfect.
I got to wax a little space talk with Genocide. How cool is that? Thanks, Jennifer. That was a hoot. Yeah, I said hoot. Can't wait until you come back, and we'll get you in the Ontel Radio Game Show Studios one way or the other. If you want to hear more Genocide's amusing and insightful Twitter, you can follow her on Twitter, @Genocide, or search for her on Facebook. If all else fails, you can always go to Genocide.com. And if you'd be so kind, take a peek where Jen will be next by visiting a couple of cool sites. The International Poker Federation at int.pokerfed.org. And Jen will be representing Team USA there. And after that, she bundles up and heads to Montreal for an event at the Playground Poker Club. You can visit them at playgroundpoker.ca. Our thanks again to Jennifer Lee. That was a ton of fun, and we hope to see you again real soon. And good luck with kicking some international butt for Team USA. Thank you for downloading an Ontel Radio podcast.